This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And we are here to recap episode, what are we on now, six?
Seven. We're getting
Clayton's.
There.
Yeah, getting there. Episode seven of Clayton's Bachelor season. But before we do that, guys, we have an amazing interview, actually, after the show. After the recap tonight, we have an amazing interview with James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules. So any Vanderpump fans out there, guys, this is awesome. Awesome interview. We talked to him about how he got started on Vanderpump, how his passion for music still drives him today, and what he's got coming up next. So stick around after our recap and listen to our interview with James Kennedy. And before we get into the recap, Eric, let's kind of talk about what we got coming up and kind of what we did this last weekend. I guess I was with my crazy ass family this weekend. So I'm honestly more hungover than I usually am when we DJ.
Well, it also started. We hung out with a good friend of the show, Scotty McCreary.
Yes.
On Friday night, went and checked him out at the good old Grizzly Rose. Got to meet his fabulous wife, Gabi, finally.
Yeah.
I've heard so much about her for years, I feel like. Now,
yeah, that's cool. She flew in. Yeah.
Yeah. She's God bless her, nurse. Worked throughout the whole pandemic. And
sweet,
it's good to see her out with Scotty, enjoying some time.
Yeah. So it's always good to see Scotty. He fucking packed out the Grizzly Rose, too.
Holy shit.
Shoulder to shoulder in there. He can put on a show.
Still that blows my mind, too, that he is still, what did he say? He's 30 or 32?
He's 28.
Or 28.
He's been doing it for 10 years. Since he was 18. Yeah. He's been fucking selling out places since he was probably, 18.
He's had the voice of Barry Manilow since he was 8.
That voice, something special.
Oh, no, not Barry Manilow. Hold on.
No,
Barry White. What the fuck am I talking about?
Dude is talented though, man. And he puts on a show. People love him. He's a fun, if you guys haven't seen Scotty McCreary and he comes to your city, go check him out because it's on a hell of a show. And he's amazing songs. When you've been doing it for 10 years and you're still selling out fucking
tons of hits for 28 years old, man.
A ton for 28. You're right. Yeah. He's already had a career that most people dream of and he's 28, you know, it's crazy. And then DJ'd at Mile High Friday night, another packed house. Fuck. It was crazy. Shout out to Denver. You guys always come out and support, and I love y'all. It's quite the show. It gets rowdy in there, man.
It sure does. And speaking of Mile High Spirits, James Kennedy, obviously we talk about his show coming up this Friday. So if you're in Denver, Friday night, we'll be there supporting James, checking him out. And definitely go to see James. James puts on a good show too.
Yeah. High energy.
He has a lot of originals that he likes to perform as well.
Yeah, he's got some. Yeah, so he creates a lot of his own music. Come on out. One of the very few Fridays we're home, but we are here. We come back Friday morning. We fly in Friday morning, so we're able to catch James at Mile High. So come on out, Denver. And then speaking of this weekend, I mean, we're in Minnesota Thursday night, baby. University of Minnesota, playing a tiny little gig there, as well as like doing some fun bachelor stuff. So University of Min, come on out. And then
Sunday,
Houston, which I am so excited for this fucking gig, guys. Houston, I play in the MLS season opener. I'm playing the beer garden. It's going to be a wild party. I just have a feeling. I mean, first of all, soccer fans are nuts. And then the weather's starting to get nicer out there and it's opening day. So I feel like that is just gonna be a wild, wild gig. I'm so pumped for that. So excited.
if you guys are in Houston, we'll be kind of doing their pre-game tailgate party at the Hold It Down Plaza at from 4:30 to 5:45. So yeah, definitely come out, check it out. It sounds like it's going to be
nuts.
A fun day. Fun day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited for it. I think it's going to be so much fun. Yeah, and then I'm in New York actually on Monday. I'm doing a little bachelor thing. So busy weekend, but looking forward to it. It's going to be another fun one. And looking forward to being home Friday, Saturday night. That might be kind of nice here in Denver.
It's going to be weird.
Sleep in my bed. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since we've done that without having a show here. So anything else I'm missing? Any bachelor news?
I don't even know, man.
There hasn't been any in a while.
I feel like there is. I just am not even paying attention to it.
Yeah. I don't know if there is. So we'll just get into it. Let's get into this
recap. Sorry, guys. We are definitely not your Bachelor spoiler
podcast. We ain't no gossip podcast. But yeah, let's get into it because I think we're actually, which I think we do a good job of, but I think we're going to differ a little bit on it sounds like anyway, on some Sarah content.
Yeah, later in the show, I think we're definitely going to be on different sides here.
Yeah, I think so too. But kind of get started right there with Sarah. If you remember the last episode, it ends with Sarah getting the rose from Clayton, but she's going to stand up for herself, right? She's going to stand up for herself against Mara and some of the other girls talking shit about her, saying she's not ready to get married, blah, 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 blah. So we pick up there. She kind of walks into the room, right? And she kind of like addresses the room because she doesn't know who said it. She addresses the room kind of as a whole. And Mara basically does own up to it, right? She owns up to it. Like, so she kind of,
I feel like she kind of beats around the bush. Like she does and she doesn't.
Yeah. I actually rewound it because I couldn't figure it out.
She says like she's kind of upset about the two one-on-ones she's had, but doesn't really own up to you're not wife material. You're too young. She doesn't say any of that.
No. Yeah. So I don't know. I think Mara's trying to be like, she's not owning up to what she said. And she doesn't like admit like, I wish she would have just been like, yeah, I said that to Clayton. That's what I said. Cause that's how I believe. But you're right. She kind of like trying to like, I don't know, balance on the fence, if you will, you know what I mean? But Sarah says one line that really pisses her off. That's right at the end. And she says basically that Clayton knows that it's a desperate attempt to stay around and to send another girl home. And that just didn't sit well with Mara. You know what I mean? She's just like super pissed about
like
that
I've been
one line.
Bamboozled by Sarah. So I'll get into
I am team fucking Sarah, man. I am team Sarah.
Because last week I was like, this is such a desperation play from Mara as well.
And I do. Do you still believe it?
I do to a point, but then
the other girls
jumping ahead a little bit, but like some of the other girls too, like Rachel, they seem to be like having Mara's back. Like when Mara addresses her during the cocktail party and, you know, like,
yeah, I don't know. I'm still team Sarah, guys. So let's just, before we get into that, cause we're going to get into that next, but before we get into that, obviously we go to the cocktail hour, right? We go to the rose ceremony. Not a shocker again, who stays, who goes.
Yeah. But this cocktail party was pretty cool. Cause it led with a pretty serious moment. And it's real big props on either if Clayton or the producer is grabbing Serene first and acknowledging the hardship she had with the loss of her cousin and then bringing out the jar of fireflies.
That was really sweet. Yeah.
Great
and it's small things like that. And that's actually when I was like, okay, Serene's going to hometown. That's when it kind of hit me.
Yeah.
But those are really cool moments because the one thing throughout this process, and Rachel is looking like she's struggling a little bit with this, but you really, he can't just straight up be like, I'm picking you. You know what I mean? Or like, you're coming to hometown. So like little things like that, the fireflies in the jar thing, just keep you going. Like it just keeps you going, keeps your hope alive. You know what I mean? So that's a huge, it doesn't seem too big, but that is a huge moment for Serene and Clayton and their relationship. So you're right. That was cool. And kind of while all that's going on, obviously Mara kind of pulls Sarah aside and they have a tiny little argument. She says she finds it very disrespectful. Right. And I guess just mostly disrespectful.
Well, Mara says that Sarah's getting a little sloppy. I mean, you can totally see means. Like this is East Coast, like Jersey, New York, Mara coming out here. Like this is, we're a different breed from back there, man.
Yeah, but I still think she's overreacting like insane amount, man. I just don't get it. Like, why the fuck is she so obsessed with Sarah?
But it's really odd that like Rachel did have Mara's
back. Yeah, but I also think Rachel is clearly wildly insecure with her and Clayton's relationship too. Like she's talked about it every week.
Yeah. And I'm never the one that jumps ahead, but it's like, but I got to jump forward to jump back to this one. Cause like later in the evening, during like the night portion before rose ceremony, the night portion of the group date.
Group date. Yeah.
Clayton does grab Rachel first. So I feel like Rachel has a lot of guidance in like, like Clayton, like
if she says leans something, on he her listens.
A lot for, so like for her to like have Mara's back here, it's like, what are we not seeing in the house?
Okay. But what is Sarah doing wrong? Like, you're too confident. Well, you're too cocky with your relationship with Clayton. So yeah,
at this point, but then some other stuff comes out later. But obviously, there's stuff we're not seeing. And good reason, because that kind of made the episode. You know, the content for later on in the episode.
We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The rose ceremony hits. Surprised who stays, who goes.
I'm really bummed to see Eliza.
Eliza.
Loved to have seen more of her.
Not get any Eliza.
No.
There was a point even where she hopped on screen. And I was like, "Where? I haven't seen her in forever. Who is she?"
Yeah.
Eliza goes home.
After the ceremonies, there's seven left after Mara and Eliza go home.
And Eliza go home. I see it, and I think it was the right move of him sending Mara home and keeping Sarah.
Same.
But yeah, I think it was the right move. Obviously, him and Mara don't have a good connection. And Mara spent all her time talking shit on Sarah. So this is a good move, I think, personally. I like Mara. Like, I'm not saying, you know, but I just think that she did the mistake, you know, that everybody makes where you talk to the lead about somebody else and it backfires, man. It's like these people just don't ever learn. But yeah, so we go into the next week, right? And obviously this is the big week. Let's get to hometowns. Clayton's got to decide who he's going to pick to see their families. So it's a big, big week. And the first...
We're off to a new setting, Vienna,
which is random. It seems like all of a sudden they popped up in Vienna. We didn't get any kind of like intro to that. It wasn't like we're going to Vienna. It was just like, hi Vienna, the old balcony scream, hi Vienna, or whatever it was. But Vienna is a gorgeous, gorgeous country city. And Austria is a gorgeous country. Vienna is a city. A lot of history there, a lot of art, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I was wondering, like, what are they going to do in Vienna? And we'll get into that group date because that was wild. That group date was fucking crazy. But before we do that, the first one-on-one is Serene, right? Susie, you're right.
Susie.
This
the pretty woman date.
This seemed even more pretty woman than past seasons. I think this might be top five one-on-one dates I've ever fucking seen on The Bachelor.
Yeah, same.
This
was so pure and real.
Whoa. Like, well, it just like the amount of money she walked out of that store with in clothes, and then the fucking gown she wore, just like all around. Someone who doesn't
give a shit about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like
that's
all
why
around
I love this.
This date is like a woman's dream date, man. Just like it blew my mind watching even more, because there's been other pretty woman dates, but I just felt like this was different, man.
I love that they gave it to someone who it was so out of their element and comfort zone. And I absolutely adore Susie.
I like her too.
God, she is so genuinely sweet, down to earth, like, and just humble about every experience she is getting. And this really brings, well, this whole date, like the night portion, the pretty woman date, this brings me back to the first, she got the first one-on-one of the season. And it brings me back to how awkward her and Clayton were, because they were so out of their elements, like the helicopter ride to the yacht. And here they are again, going from like this fantastic shopping spree,
thousands of dollars,
to a palace date. And it's just like, holy shit.
And that gown that she was wearing, man, that's thousands of dollar gown. Like, awesome day. And you're right. Their connection. I said this before, same thing on her one-on-one. I was like, she seems so comfortable too. It's like, she seems like she was like born for this moment. I don't know what it, and that's why I personally think, if she doesn't win, I think she should be the Bachelorette. I think she'd make a great Bachelorette.
She might be one of my favorite contestants of all time.
Yeah, like, she's great.
Just because she's so relatable too, to like just like a normal person watching the show, right? Or just like the fan base. Like, mm-hmm. She's not like that bougie materialistic.
No. And she's like, I love female, how smiley like, she is, right?
Yeah.
And positive. Like, she's bubbly. She's very bubbly. And then their connection, obviously Clayton and her connection is huge. She was the first person to tell him she was falling in love with them. All in all, it was just an amazing date. The night portion, was fantastic. Just like all around. I keep saying like Rachel, but then Susie pops in and they have an amazing time, an amazing connection, an amazing conversation. I'm like, geez, man, Clayton's got some good women.
That's what I have in my notes here. I was like, well, Rachel has some competition now after seeing this one.
He's got some very solid women. I really like this cast of women a lot.
Yeah.
Like, obviously there's some Shanae.
Rachel, Gab, those. Yeah.
You're but like these final, those. Yeah, exactly. But these final like six, seven, I really like these women. Obviously she gets the rose. So we're going to Susie's hometown, which, where is she from again? I don't remember.
I think it's one of the Carolinas.
Is that what it is? Maybe right south, South Carolina, North Carolina, something like that. But we're heading to her hometown, which wasn't not an upset. I think she was a favorite going to hometown. So not a shocker there. But let's talk. I want to talk about
She's from Virginia.
This. Virginia. That's right. Virginia Beach. Right? Yeah, that's right. That's Eddie, right. Virginia
get
Beach.
Get her on your radio station. Yeah. I'll make the intro.
But dude, let's talk about how fucking brilliant/evil it was for those producers to send her in. And they do this every season. Send her in there with the bags to see the girls sitting inside. You know, they drop it. Then the guy comes in with the bat, with the dress. Where's Susie? And everybody's like, funny. Oh my God, she's a real life princess. Like, I want to meet her.
Oh, that dress thing was such a.
The dress was funny, man. Oh, and, Susie? They're like, well, yeah,
and it. And I don't even know if Susie knows what red bottoms are, honestly, like the Louboutins.
Yeah, she like rolled it over. Yeah.
And like you just see Gabby's face like, this bitch.
Because Gabby clearly knows what red bottoms are.
All of them do.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was just a funny moment where I was like, those poor girls. But they all try to be as I don't know.
I think they really do support each other, like these final.
Yeah, final to a degree. To a degree, I do think so. So then they read the right. So, you know, Susie gets the rose, not a shocker. So back in the house, they read the group date rose or group date card. Sorry. And Serene gets the one-on-one, which we'll go into later. But
I do want to talk about like that. After their dinner portion or whatever, you walk into that room and it's Chris DeBurf singing Lady in Red.
Lady in Red. It was pretty stunning. It was.
Oh,
it was
my
incredible.
Goodness, man.
It really was incredible. It was one of the best dates I think I've ever seen, top to bottom. Like, she's got spoiled, man. In Vienna.
I almost at that point want to say it's over for the rest of them. Like,
if it wasn't for
I don't
Rachel,
think they didn't stop looking and just that in that
making
moment,
out. They kissed for like fucking 10 minutes. If it wasn't for Rachel, I still think it's between Susie and Rachel. I still think Rachel has the edge right now, but
I think I would give it to Susie.
I don't know. We'll see. The only reason I say Susie or Rachel never got a second one-on-one. She's on this group date, right? She's on this group date. Rachel never got a second one-on-one.
So only Susie and Sarah have gotten second one-on-ones?
And Serene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's get in this group date. My worst nightmare probably as a group date, psychotherapy. I did not expect this. Some of the women were very nervous, very uncomfortable. But basically it was such a serious tone, right? Like this tone of the state was just like,
it really only seems like one was uncomfortable though. Am I wrong?
Well, I think it was just Genevieve.
Cause like
Genevieve was wildly uncomfortable. Gabby was nervous.
But Gabby's like, it's a big part of her life. Like she has opened up very much as she does do a lot of therapy.
Yeah. But therapy, you know, with your fucking boyfriend and then, you know, national television, I would be super nervous, even though I enjoy therapy. Like it would still freak me out. But just the tone of this date, man, was brutal to go to hometown, such a serious date, you know, there wasn't much like, I don't know, even just, it was just an ominous tone to it. But yeah, so basically they sit down with like a psychotherapist there in Vienna, a very well-known one apparently. And they sit down with Clayton and they have to talk about their feelings and she asks them questions, right? And kind of, I mean, let's just get into Genevieve. She could not open up. She could not answer simple questions. Like, well, just like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
It was over for her. And she knew it too, right? Yeah. Knew it. She was like, I'm sorry. This is, I have a lot to work on.
She said one word to the therapist.
I mean, according to the edit. Yeah. You couldn't tell. I mean, they sure made it seem like she was like clammed up, you know, she was super nervous. But she said, she's like, I don't like opening up. I don't like talking about my feelings, you know? So she kind of knew, I think.
And she took it super well, like getting, like being like, oh, pretty much. She was like, yeah, I kind of know my time's run its course here. Yeah.
She hasn't had a single one-on-one, you know what I mean? She knows that she's probably going home. So this was interesting though. So this is kind of what happens. The episode before every hometown is, you know, there's usually two one-on-ones and then actually no. See, on my season, there were three one-on-ones and a group date. So it was me, Garrett, Jason, all got one-on-ones. And then the group date was like, oh no, it was a two. It was group date. And Colton came back with the rose. And that's how we figured out the final four. So they're doing it a little different this time. Looks like there's going to be an actual rose ceremony, which there usually isn't to get to hometowns.
Because obviously he didn't give a rose out of
it. He didn't give the group date rose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Genevieve ends up going home on her own. And then let's get into this Sarah, man. This is where I want to talk about this Sarah chat, because in my opinion, man, listen, I understand like maybe these, I personally think, and this is a hot fucking take here. Hot take. I think the girls are wildly, I don't know. They're what's the word I'm looking for here?
Threatened.
Yeah. That's a great word. Hot take. I think the girls are threatened by Sarah. I think they don't like that she's going around happy talking about Clayton and their relationship. To a degree, I understand maybe keep some things private. But guys, being confident in your relationship and cocky in your relationship is not a red flag. It is not something. I think Clayton took it way overboard, right? In their little conversation was like, I don't believe you. And was like saying all those things. It's like, man, I don't think she's been nothing but honest. So she's excited about their relationship. Cool.
Gabby made a comment tonight that said that Sarah can't keep track of her lies. So what did we miss here? Because Gabby's saying that, and then obviously there's power in numbers. Like,
yeah, and they know that.
Teddy, Sarah, I know, but then like if Sarah did go and boast to Sarah and Teddy at the time, if she said that comment to Rachel. You'll never have what we have. Like, that's kind of like, that's overstepping boundary a little bit. And
yeah, if that did be said, that was a little bit over top. But again, it's like, you know, people say that all the freaking time though on this show, you know?
And I feel like her going into this, the therapist portion, her even thanking the therapist, thank you for being here today. Like, man, she is calculated. She knows what she's doing at this point. Like,
I don't think so. I mean, we're just going to disagree here.
Yeah, that's the
which is great.
The first where we're so
we're
apart.
We're so very apart.
Because I feel, like I said earlier, I feel bamboozled because I've had Sarah's back this whole time. And now I'm like, man, she is faking this one.
I just don't see it, man. I think she's been honest and genuine. And like, I don't see the fakeness that everybody else sees. I personally just think they were scared. I think they were just like, fuck Sarah. And especially by the way she was talking, I don't even know if it was necessarily true. I still don't know if she would have made hometowns. I don't think she would have, but I still think they were threatened, man. They were threatened by Clayton and Sarah's connection, even if it wasn't there. Cause I don't think it was there, but I think they were still threatened by it.
But they have to be threatened by each other too. Like
my point.
And the doc and the psychoanalyst, she's saying that one person is being performative. That's pretty big.
Like, where's that come line. From? That's a okay. fucking producer line.
All right.
Yeah, that's a producer
that
line.
First.
And I was actually
hot take.
I was a producer line, 100%. 100%. They gave that to the psychotherapist, and I think because they saw what was going on, and I personally think they needed a reason to send Sarah home. And I think Clayton just, because it just seemed so over the top the way Clayton was like, I don't believe you. You're fake crying. It was just seemed well, over
she,
the top.
She couldn't even get it. Like last week, the waterworks wouldn't turn off. Now that she couldn't even start fucking crying.
But that's the thing. I bet she's been crying for fucking 3 days. Like I've been there. You run out of tears. I don't know. I get both sides,
you could see her face. She was trying so hard to squeeze it out though.
I think she's just, I think she got so blindsided with the Mara thing last week that she's just been shook for 3-4 days. I don't know. I'm Team Sarah. I'm Team Sarah on this. No. Do I think she should have made hometowns? No, I don't think she should have made hometowns. I think the four that are going to make hometowns are the right four. I just think she got gypped by the end of this and how she went home and everything. But yeah, like you said, they didn't give the group date rose away because of all the drama. So we are going to have a rose ceremony. But before the rose ceremony, we get to Serene's final one-on-one. I like Serene a lot, man. I'm a big Serene fan.
I think I had her like the final four a while ago.
You did. I knew she could make it far, but I'm shocked just how much I've fallen not only in love with her, but in love with their connection too. I really like their connection and their conversations.
And the one big thing, obviously, like for she kind of took Clayton off guard tonight.
Big time.
Like number one, just checking on him. First of all, first thing that she mentioned when she saw him during the day was like, hey, are you okay after last night with the whole Sarah stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like just it selfless.
Was, yeah. Yeah. And just her saying, I'm falling in love with you and seeing his face like light up and how excited he was.
He was so shook. I don't think I've ever seen a contestant shook like that from someone saying that.
So that's really cool. You're right. I love seeing that. And he genuinely, I think, is into her. And it seems like Clayton doesn't think any of these women like him. You know, it seems like he's always constantly being like,
yeah,
like with Rachel, you know, like, was it because of me that you're not, you know, like, and then, she's like, no.
And Susie's self-produced or the producer put up one-on-one last week.
Yeah.
He was just like, fuck yes. There's no problem here. You still want to be here?
Yeah, he's like, you don't want to leave?
Like, you like me? Fuck yeah.
Just seems like he's shocked every time one of these girls sticks around and likes him, you know, and falls into it too.
I like him a lot. Like,
no, me too. Like, I like him too.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a humble guy, and he doesn't expect these beautiful women to necessarily be falling all over him. You know what I mean? So I like that about Clayton a lot too. This day was great. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like Serene, their conversation is great. The connection is great.
I guess we did get the rose ceremony tonight. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. I'm just looking at my notes. I'm like,
yeah, we got the rose ceremony tonight.
So just apologize for me earlier because I think I quoted there wasn't because they didn't give the rose out.
The group date.
After the group date.
But yeah, there was a rose ceremony. Serene gets the group date, the one-on-one rose. She's going to hometowns. So right now we got Serene and Susie going to hometowns. And what we don't, so and then the three we have left, Rachel going to the rose ceremony. Rachel, Gabby, Sarah. Well,
no, they did give out. Gabby, Rachel, Susie, Serene go. Teddy goes home.
Teddy went home tonight. No, but going into the rose ceremony. But you're right. Yeah, Teddy goes home. Teddy goes home. But yeah, going into the rose ceremony. Yeah, you have those people left. And then, of course, you know, Susie gets first rose, and then it's down to Gabby and Teddy. And Gabby gets the rose. Not shocker. This was the final four that I think Serene's going to end up, you know, going home after this. I think it's pretty, I mean, I love Serene. I love their connection, but I don't think it's anywhere near Rachel, Susie, or Gabby. I'm excited to see this hometown. So those are the final four hometowns. Really excited to see these people's family. I think Gabby's family is going to be probably hilarious if she's there anything like her.
I think Susie's going to bring a piece of home to him because like just that like small town feeling.
Yeah, he's going to love vibe. That. Yeah.
I think they're going to click great.
Where's Serene from?
Not sure.
I don't know either. Susie, Virginia Beach. Gabby, Denver. And then Rachel was, I don't even know Rachel either.
I want to say Rachel's from out east as well.
Yeah, I was going to say New York, actually.
I think she's from she's from Orlando.
Oh, shit. Orlando, Florida. Okay, cool. Cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the hometowns. This episode was like, meh. Like, I don't know. You always have to have these like episodes that lead, you know? Like, I think it built up a lot going into hometowns, but you know, kind of a not too much happened in this episode other than the Sarah drama, which I think personally was just ridiculous. But excited for hometowns. So it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited to meet these girls' families and excited to see Colton say he's in love with a bunch of people. So looking forward to that. But yeah, anything else? Anything else? I think I'm just, yeah, I'm looking excited to see.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed the season. Like, it's been a good one.
It's been a fun one. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week. And stick around. Our interview with James Kennedy coming up next.
We'll be right back.
James Kennedy. James, thanks for coming on, man.
Yo, what's up?
Happy good to see you. Yeah, I say last time I think I saw you, was that Blended Fest in San Diego?
Yes, bro. What a time. What a time. Beautiful weekend.
That was a fun weekend, man. That was a hell of a music fest. I'm not going to lie.
Hell yeah. Hell
I believe
yeah.
I was busy taking a tent off the stage.
Shut it down. I know. Yeah.
I should have done it for you before.
I know. Wait, but that created such a vibe too. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have been bumping my head the whole time. I jump up and down the entire time I DJ.
Yeah, so for those of you that weren't at Blended Fest, okay, there was a tent above my head, okay, that I didn't realize was, you know, it was optional. It was movable. But then Eric comes along and fucking takes that shit way out of your way. And it just like, it allowed the smoke under the stage to rise, you know? So with the lights, it just looked sick.
And that smoke was intense on that stage too. So I can't imagine having a tent over top plus the smoke.
Well, you saw me. I was like coming out of the stage. I'm like in front of the crowd, you know, like I spent most of the time there. Like,
yeah. And that was a fun time.
Right when we got up there, I was like, this has to go, mate. You had the sunset going on. Like it was, we need the
ambiance. It was a good little vibe.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was. And you played for like 2 hours, didn't you?
I think it was like a 2 hour set. Yeah. I was just saying, I played in Omaha this past weekend. Like I was meant to play for like an hour and a half, ended up playing nearly 4 hours.
Just like, holy shit, what?
Yeah. It's like I was literally running out of crates in my fucking I'm like, yo, like what the fuck? Like I haven't done this. Like it was a great show. It was a great show. So
that's fun. I went to school in Nebraska, actually. So I've been to Omaha quite a few times. So.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Nebraska goes off.
And there's like a club that they opened up like next to it. It's called Barnado. But
interesting.
The place went off. Like,
yeah.
Well, if you're a Vanderpump Rules fan and you're in Omaha, you were probably there on Saturday.
100%.
There's no fucking question. Like the town knows I was pulling up.
Exactly. Oh, Denver will be the same way this weekend. Have you played in Denver before?
Oh, yeah. So I have played in Denver once before at a nightclub, but this must have been like 4.5 years ago. Like maybe,
oh, wow.
Maybe five. Yeah. Like they just legalized weed, I think. Like that was a big deal. Like I pulled up to the shop, you know, first thing, obviously. It was good.
Yeah. That's like the first thing all musicians do, man, is they hit the shop before or after the show. That's like the first thing all musicians do when they're coming down.
Yeah, definitely pre-show vibes for me.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I'm excited to see this Friday, Denver. I mean, obviously, you know,
I'm so you're going to be there. Like, what? I'm glad we make this work. And then, like, you're going to be there on Saturday. So we get a little follow-up, which is.
Yeah, it'll be perfect. Yeah, it'll be fun. But yeah, dude, I just kind of wanted to get into kind of like what you've been up to music-wise as well. And then, yeah, I just chat a little, man. So how long have you been on the show now?
So I've been on Vanderpump since I was actually introduced like the finale of season 2. So,
oh, okay. All right.
So it's been, this year coming up, if we do another season, it'll be season 10. So it's been like 7-8
years. Wow, man. Wow. That's crazy. So did you know what you were getting yourself into, man, when you like kind of signed up for everything that finale of season 2, were you like, yeah, I can't wait for this. Were you like, oh, fuck.
Well, it's funny, like I was actually bussing tables at Surf like about 1.5 years before I even got in front of a camera. I walked in one day, I was like, hey, I want a DJ here. And the owner's brother was the DJ at the time, okay? So then he moved out of the country about 1.5 years later and I finally got my shot, you know? Lisa Vanderpump, she walked in that night, you know, she's like, okay, let's see what you got. Like 15 minutes later, it was like, you don't have to bus tables anymore. Like, best, one of the best days ever. And obviously for me, like I felt like, wow, like now I get to DJ Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday brunch at like a little hotspot in West Hollywood, you know? And the show, I always had, you know, like a vision on what I kind of wanted when everything with Sir kind of fell into place. Like when I saw the show, I definitely saw it as an opportunity to try and like become the DJ on it. Do you know what I mean? And fast forward now, 8 seasons. I mean, shit, I guess like, it's like, yeah.
It came to fruition, right?
Yeah. It came into fruition. And I've had the time of my life just being able to play shows and play music is like what I love to do. And then in the summer times, you know, I spend it in beautiful Cali filming the show. I mean, It's been nice.
Yes, you can't really complain, right?
No, I'm definitely not complaining.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like the journey is just beginning as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I take the music thing, as do you, I'm sure, very seriously, but like also, you know, still try and have fun with it. It's a beautiful balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is my new place right here. I don't want to show it off too much because I still haven't gotten much furniture in here yet, but I'm building a nice little studio up there. It's like a loft vibe. You know, it's just me. Yeah. I get to focus on just production this year and getting back into it. I haven't made music for literally, it's coming on to 2 months now because I moved in beginning of December. So I'm itching. I have an EP that I've been working on. I have a release coming out pretty soon with Armada, I'm pretty sure. It's an official remix for Autograph with a Bali remix, actually.
Hell yeah.
Amazing album they had. So I'm excited with that, but definitely excited to jump back into the production thing and finish up this tour as well that I'm on right now.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I say you're busy, man. I see you out there, man. You're out there hustling, which I love to see. Yeah,
Thank you.
And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that with you. Is like, how do you balance, right, this like reality TV personality, I guess, if you will, you know, with also trying to be taken as serious as possible in the music industry? How do you balance that?
Okay, so honestly, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel like I've hit my peak really with the music yet. And I feel like with reality TV, I mean, I kind of have in a sense.
Right.
You know, I definitely am waiting for that right moment. Everything in my life has kind of led up to right now. I mean, obviously, but I've had like, you know, I'm deep into some numerology stuff. I don't know. Like, I just feel like very connected with what's going on. I feel like everything's happened for a reason. And right now, I mean, I love doing the show. I do have so much fun doing the show, and I love being able to express myself and talk about my fucking problems and my love stories and my life and like everything that's just going on. And, you know, in a sense with Vanderpump, I almost feel like I almost like take over that show in like a sense, like it's like there's Vanderpump Rules, right? And there's the drama stuff. And then there's like James's story over there.
Yeah.
And it's like people captivate to that. And I think that's very interesting. So I don't really know what's going to happen. But all I do know is that I just love being able to just make the music and keep going. But yeah, it's a hard balance, honestly. I always respected Paulie D, okay? And like, let me just say, like, this guy's a fucking legend, okay? Mm-hmm. Such a hard worker, great work ethic, and I just think he's a fucking gangster. And not to mention, he was the first like reality TV star to become a fucking very big DJ. And at a time where MTV pushes these stars to become stars, okay? And I'm not saying like, you know what I'm saying, but I'm saying MTV is like some fucking, it's a machine, right?
It is.
And then when you're Paulie D at that time with Jersey Shore, like the hottest fucking reality show at a time where reality show is hot as fuck, right? It makes sense. But no, he hasn't stopped working until this day. And I just respect that hustle. And yeah, I mean, shit, that's kind of what kind of drove me into Vanderpump. I always thought like, shit, well, I could do that. I mean, I could be mm-hmm. like a DJ on a reality show too. Let me see if I could do this on maybe a smaller scale or maybe on Bravo or just maybe trying to create my own little niche, you know?
Yeah, niche. That's the key.
Yeah. That's all it is. And like, yeah, so it's my own little baby bubble, but I'm still doing See You Next Tuesdays. I'm doing a big party tomorrow at Sir. And I feel like the vibe is picking up. Like, you know, WeHo and Hollywood is coming back alive, you know, post-COVID vibes, you know. But yeah, that party is kind of legendary at Sir, you know. I'm fucking jam-packed and I'm playing all the bangers. I play like a three-hour set too every Tuesday. So it's fun.
Yeah. No, that's good to hear that you know, WeHo is kind of coming back a little bit because I went out there a year ago, roughly. And yeah, it was still a little dead.
Yeah,
the energy was right there. Yeah. So that's good to hear. But I love that you mentioned Paulie D because, I mean, obviously Paulie D is wildly successful and mm-hmm. he's been able to find that, like, because I think he's pretty much, I mean, he's obviously still very well known for Jersey Shore, especially since the new episode or season came out.
Oh, no, it's still going. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's a fucking machine and it's just perfect, you know, how it all worked out that way. So. Mm-hmm.
But he's still, like you said, he still hustles hard in the music industry and he'll do, I mean, he and he's good. You know what I mean? Like, I just ran into this. I played at Summit Rooftop in Austin like 2 weeks ago. And one of the bouncers, you know, I feel like I always try to impress like the bouncers and shit because they see everything, they hear everything. And if I see them nodding along or I see them get, you know, dance a little, like, I'm like, okay, I'm doing my job. And he said that, you know, he was like, you know, sometimes we get some of these quote unquote, like, influencer DJs come through here, whatever you want to call them. And he's like, sometimes, you know, they're no good. And he's like, but keep doing what you're doing. And I feel like you're a great example of that too. Like, obviously like people, I know people come to my show and they're like, we're just going to go see Blake. We're not expecting to be good. And then actually it's pretty good. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay. So I think it's cool to be able to like, we can draw people there, but it's the music that keeps them coming back. Like it's actual abilities and the work we put in to keep them coming back. So it's kind of a cool balance.
When Pauly first started. Yeah. And he is definitely the originator of the reality TV transfer over into DJing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like in the beginning, like, yeah, you heard the stories like, oh man, Pauly's horrible, horrible. But like, yeah, he is just stuck with it. And it's really carved out a niche. And it's awesome to see like you guys come off reality television and don't want to say like stay relevant, but it's like create a new path where it's like, all right, I'm not just a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. I have another passion. It's music.
Yeah.
You guys are both crushing it. And we do. And like what I've noticed over the last like 2 years, like there's so much overlap in between, you know, Blake and, you know, we're booking and you and James and like, we're playing the same venues,
right?
Like opposite weekends or like every other month, like we're, there's a lot of crossover. So it's really cool to see what you guys are building.
Oh yeah.
And I think I love, like you talked about earlier, James, like your passion for music, I think is something that comes through when you play, especially too. So it's cool to see for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the passion is everything. I mean, I moved to Ibiza, Spain in 2006 when I was 14 years old, you know, Moby's Play album just changed my fucking life. You know, I was out in the clubs, like seeing David Guetta in his young days. Like, this is like,
that's crazy.
Wow. It's like fucking like world, hold on. Da-dum.
Yeah.
Just that old shit. And I, yeah, like I was just blown away. So ever since then, it's just like shit. Yeah, the music makes me feel alive. I can't do anything else. Like I just knew that even if Vanderpump never happens, like I was gonna find a way into the DJ thing. Like I remember, like I would ask every fucking nightclub in Hollywood, like even when I was underage, like, can I spin here? What do I have to do? Like I was DJing at restaurants left and right, but even before Sir came up, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, just Sir was the one that hit for me. So I feel like for any upcoming DJ, like in especially in LA and Hollywood, trying to come up with a name for yourself, or I don't know what it is. Like
yeah, maybe, I'd say maybe name or like
make
reputation,
a little,
right?
Right? Show something that you've got that no one else has, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us do have that, but what runs out is the fucking hustle. Yeah.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. you do really need to keep going, and like, and it is the passion that drives that, right? It drives us. So that's fucking cool, man. Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I find, like, because I'm booking Blake or, you know, assisting with that, it's like you gotta stay out there. You got consistency is everything. And that hustle is the biggest thing.
100%.
So you're taken seriously as, you know, a real life DJ and not just exactly. It's just a reality TV guy.
I'll be chasing, trying to be taken seriously until the day I die. Because because I've been touring already now for 8 years, but I don't want to boast about that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to stay quiet about that so I can do it for another 8 years. It's some serious shit. Like in my head, I'm thinking, okay, so Australia, the show is massive over there. I think they're literally 2-3 years behind in season. So like, if Vanderpump gets cancelled, move on over. Yeah, live it again fresh for 3 and then ride it out for another 8. Like, yeah, I'm planning this all out of my fucking head there. Like,
I love it.
It's never gonna stop.
Because you guys are young bucks still. You see these DJs like Tiesto, like these guys are hitting like 45, 50 years old. It's like, you guys are not even close to that yet.
This guy does not start, bro.
Benny Biasi. Bad Boy Bill, like this
fold, bro. Like that's like basically my fucking Paul. I know Paul well, so it's crazy.
That is crazy. And I don't think people know just how much hustle you've put into everything and how long you've been working at this. And that this has been a dream for a really long time. So that's pretty cool. I mean, how did you kind of, did you just one day buy a controller and was like, I'm going to learn how to do this?
I bought a fucking B12 fucking blah, blah, blah way before it was like a CDJ.
CDJ,
But I used to make little CDs, burn my fucking tracks, you know. I was DJing before I could even beat match, honestly. I was fucking fading that's out. Loud, let's fucking go. It was more about the party. And then, you know, obviously now I take it much more serious, but like, and you have to now with all these sick fucking DJs, like shout out James Hyde. We're fucking kings, but I fucking been mixing, and then production for me is also a massive thing. Like I've got a spinning records release and a few other amazing things, but it's like, you know, working on Ableton for me just changed my life. Like that was now like the artist in me at school that loved art class the most and painting now could fucking use Ableton as a canvas. Like it was I can make beats, I can make rap beats, I can make house tunes, I can make some deep house, I can make some drum and bass go crazy. Like, dude, I love it. Like that's why I'm itching right now just to get back in my studio. Like I'm gonna be shitting tracks out this year. It's gonna be sick. I'm itching, bro, and I'm hungry too.
Yeah.
But you know, But no, it's good, dude. But yeah, it started with the mixing and stuff. I remember, like, I DJed at Sound when I was like 23 or something like that. Such a dream, but it was like so like, wasn't ready for it. Like still now don't even consider myself like ready for a big sound set because I want like all my new tracks out. Do you know what I mean? Like that's the thing with the show as well too, is like, I'm very visual. So I had this whole idea of doing like British rap over my house music. Right. So now it's like on camera on Vanderpump, I can be out in front. Like I fucking rapped Top Man, right. In front of Steve Aoki on Watch What Happens Live. This is live television, bro. Like I'm out here, if I can spit in some grime shit, Steve Aoki's sitting there just watching my whole song. Like it was surreal for me. Like,
that's
it was
wild.
And that's why I thought, like, okay, so I need to be more than just a DJ. I need to be like a visual rapper, producer. I need to let people know I'm making these beats that they're hearing. Like, I don't know. And I'm still like, it's all a way. Like, I'm still trying to get better. Like, I just turned 30. And I know by the time I'm 40, it's going to be like analog synths. I'm going to be Mr. Wizard. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't fucking wait. Like,
yeah. You know? And we're and it's ever evolving, right? It seems like every time I go to a new place, like, yeah, download the new package. I'm like, God damn. Like,
oh, yeah. It's like, classic. Geez,
classic.
Yeah. So. And that's what's fun too, is the sound is evolving still. I played Eli Brown fucking Believe in the track in the club the other night. And this is like a heavy techno fucking like heavy track. And everyone was going crazy. Like it was like this is their favorite track, but I was not expecting it, you know? So it's interesting. Let's see what Denver has to bring this weekend.
I'll tell you what. I've been saying
crazy
this
shit.
Good. They're gonna love it, man, because I swear to God, they just want to jump up and down, man. I mean, the party rock right now is like, and the house is just insane right now. I just feel like since COVID, just everybody just wants to party so damn hard. Yeah. So bring your heaviest stuff, man. Denver 11 on Friday. Bring that heavy shit. They'll love it.
Wait, is it on Friday or Saturday?
Shit. I think it's
Friday.
Friday, I believe.
Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Nice. Rebook that flight. So yeah, man. I mean, other than obviously playing here on Friday, what else we got to look forward to? You said you got some. Do you have some new music? Kind of, you're ready to drop. You know, you're soon.
So I've got an EP, like I want it to all be perfect. I'm working on a couple tracks where I've like gotten some vocalists to collab with me. I can't really give away too much about it yet because I don't really know, but because I've been saying it for so long, I just want to get them done. But like I'm playing in Washington, D.C. in March. I'm looking forward to that. Salt Lake City is my first show on March 26th. Going to St. Louis, like Indianapolis, all these dope places. Atlantic City again. Like, so this is all before filming, which would... So if it was to start again, which I haven't confirmed this season, but that would be in end of May. So
end of May, okay.
So yeah, so, I'll be doing every weekend up until then. I'm fucking stoked. And then now that my fucking studio is getting delivered literally this week, like tomorrow before 2 p.m. I mean, I'm gonna be able to start posting my like reels again because I love, you know, Wookie. Yeah. I just love what he does. Like all the beats that he can't release videos, but now he's on a beats that he can't release tour, right? And he's playing all these just fun little beats.
I have seen that.
I just love that idea. You know, there's no rules with music right now. Like if you're just making dope shit, right? I mean, fuck it. Like it could be just a Drake vocal that he just released and then you just take it, make a dope drop to it. And it's like fucking genius. Like,
it's so true.
Fucking love it. Fucking love it.
So true. Yeah. A dope drop in there.
I love that. It's sick. So
yeah. Well, good, man. Cool. So where can everybody find you, your music, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so I'm on Spotify, James Kennedy, Apple Music, SoundCloud, James Kennedy. It's James Kennedy. And then Instagram as well, you know, hit me up on that.
Yeah.
Some thirst tracks for you ladies.
Yes.
And obviously, let's plug that show Friday night at Mile High Spirits.
Yep, everybody come out, Denver. It's going to be a good time. We'll be out there. We'll be jumping around for you and everything, man. And everybody go check out his music and go follow him out there on the gram.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can announce it or not, but like obviously Slip and Slide Festival in Tulsa, Oklahoma, August, we'll be on there with you.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to do that with you guys again.
Yeah. We're playing.
Oh, dude, it's about to be lit, bro.
Yeah, it's going
to
be wild, man. It's going to be so much fun.
I didn't realize that's what you were talking about. Yes.
That's gonna be wild in August.
I mean, these guys, they shut down the entire streets. There's fucking Slip and Slides, like over 100-foot long slides, like left and right. And then everyone's in these pools. So you're yelling on the mic, you're like, splash, motherfucker, splash. Hey.
That's dope.
It's just like, let's go.
Oh my God, that's gonna be so fun. Hell yeah.
Fuck, awesome. Let's go.
So yeah, we'll be out there together, DJ. I'll be the first time.
I did it last year. They cheated as well too. We got like some bands in the back, dude. Like we got like the star treatments type.
Hell yeah. That's what they were telling me. So
cool.
Sounds like it's gonna be a good time.
Absolutely. Cool, James. Well, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see you soon. We'll see you Friday, man.
We'll see you Friday.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait, mate. See ya.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.